Well, this is Gary Baker with Ed Riddell, and Foster has today off, as well as Cal. Both of them are...
What is the deal? I mean, hunting doesn't start for another week and a half.
Yeah, it can't be that.
I know.
Actually, Foster has a medical procedure that he had that went long last night and is not able to make it with us today.
But, yeah.
We wish him the best. We know that things will work out well. So right.
Maybe it was Cal that was thinking about hunting.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder what he's hunting. That's the question. Well, hey, we've got a great show today, and we've got a great guest here in the first hour. Her name is Sherry Petras, and she is the CEO of CFI. Sherry, welcome to the Internet Advisor Show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I saw a press release this last week that got me really, you know, thinking nostalgic-like, and thinking back to a professor I had, professor of marketing, back during my MBA program at Ross School of Business at U of M. And Klaus Fornell started CFI many, many years ago, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He started it in 1988, and we have been in Michigan for the past 28 years.
And you know, but a lot of, I mean, you've served lots of customers between now and then, but what really got my caught my eye was this new press release about some of the information that you collect that is now the basis for a new exchange traded fund. You're now in investments too, among many other things. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Absolutely. As you probably remember back to your marketing days with Professor Fornell, he had a passion for customer satisfaction, and that passion lent itself to founding several companies, one of which was the American Customer Satisfaction Index, which was in that press release that you had seen about the fund.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACSI collects data from thousands and thousands of customers every year, measures customer satisfaction with the top companies across the United States. And actually, there's indices in other countries as well, but we'll focus on the U.S. for now. And that information is used to predict financial performance both for firms and for the economy as a whole. He also founded CFI Group, which is, you know, the same technology, and it's the technology that we use, the technology that ACSI uses, that essentially helps do those predictions, do those measurements of satisfaction, and figure out how it predicts financial performance. And then he's also founded a fund company, ACSI Funds, which you saw in the press release. And the fundamental thread that holds all of these entities together really is the measurement of customer satisfaction. And the premise is pretty simple. If you think about it, if companies serve their customers well, those customers will come back, they'll buy more, they'll recommend the company to other people, and if you treat them badly, the customer won't be a customer for very long. And if firms lose customers, they lose their revenue source, and they eventually will go out of business. So, you know, with the growth of the Internet, there's more and more information in customers' hands, which makes customers even more powerful today than they perhaps were even back when the company was founded.
It makes me really want to go back and pay more attention in that class than I did.
This will really make you want to wish you had paid.
And, you know, it's so interesting because I remember that when he was first talking about the American Customer Satisfaction Index, and it's really been picked up and used by so many firms not only across the country, but as you indicate, across the world, it seems like a no-brainer that this would happen, but I guess I never thought about how you would use it to predict economic outcomes as well, and it makes sense, right?
Absolutely, and this will make you kick yourself. Imagine you had $100 back in April of 2000. If you had invested that in the S&P, in an index S&P fund, how much do you think you'd have today?
I'm afraid to know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
how many times have I done this to myself? Microsoft, Cisco.
Yeah, all the ones we knew about.
You'd have $137.45.
Okay.
Oh, that's not...
If you picked firms that did well by their customers and used the ACSI scores to predict that investment, you would have $650.98.
Oh, that's you're right. I should have paid more attention. So how long have you been the CEO of CFI?
About 8 years now. I've been here at CFI Group for the past 16 years, but was made CEO back in 2008.
So what, I mean, how do other people hear about you, see you? I know that you were one of the two, CFI was one of the two original shareholders in 4C results. And we see 4C because it pops up when we visit certain websites. What does CFI do?
CFI Group does very similar things to 4C, where 4C really focuses on website measurement.
Mm-hmm.
We focus more on strategic measurement across the firm's entire customer base, not just those folks that visit a website and not just that website transaction that you're measuring when you see those pop-up surveys. So, you know, we're really about the holistic customer experience from end to end for most of our customers. And we've got we help firms everywhere from, say, NASA, which is kind of cool. The IRS, believe it or not, they care what people think about them, and they want to do a good job. While paying taxes isn't fun, they want to make at least the experience as the least painful as it can be, all the way to firms like eBay.
Sure.
Well, you know, broad experience.
It was interesting. The mission is quite broad, but I really like it. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about that with you. We're talking to Sherry Petras. She's the CEO of CFI Group. We're going to take a short break here and come back and ask Sherry a little bit about the mission and about what she does with not only her industry clients, but maybe the public sector as well. You may be interested. Stay tuned. This is Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and we have Sherry Petras from CFI, CFI Group, on the phone with us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, when I was just looking at the website as we were getting ready throughout this last part of the week to have you on, and I love the mission. Can you tell us what that's about?
You know, we like to think we're making the world a little bit better. You know, we help organizations create great customer experiences for the employees as well as the stakeholders. We like to think that by helping firms measure that customer experience and improve those pain points that we all have sometimes when we deal with firms in our day-to-day life.
Boy, do I have a client list for you of the firms that, boy, would I like you to help them create a little better customer experience when I go to their website and when I have to deal with them and call customer service. And actually, you do some of that, too. It's really about helping them develop a better contact center. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. We've been doing contact center measurement for years. We have published studies on the contact center. I think we were one of the first people to, you know, identify the issues with offshoring en masse without having some sort of backup plan when the queries get too tough for the offshore staff to handle.
That happens.
That measurement today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good to know. I mean, because sometimes it's like screaming into the wind on a beach and you don't think anyone hears you. And you can really turn sour against a particular internet provider or someone that's providing you service very easily.
And, you know, it's not, you probably know this so well and with all your research and the help that you provide these firms, but the actual individual customer contact center rep, they want to do a good job.
They do, yeah.
But sometimes there's structural things that get in the way at the contact center, and sometimes it's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
They don't understand maybe what we're trying to say, and we don't always describe technology very well.
Well, and anymore, a lot of times they're getting the most frustrated customer on the planet because you've gone to the website.
Right.
You've tried to figure it out.
Oh, that's a good point.
You can't figure it out, so then you call and you get stuck with robo-voice because rarely does a human actually answer a phone, right?
Right.
So some firms do internet, you know, the IVR, the interactive voice response units, really well. Others not so well. So you've gone through 78 different iterations on the phone tree, and by the time you finally get to this agent at the end of the call, the poor person is dealing with the wrath of your frustration from having to work so hard to get there. And I think that's one of the big things that we find differentiates a great customer experience in a contact center versus a miserable one. It's just, you know, the ability to get done what you called to get done. And people don't hate IVRs necessarily. They hate it when you can't figure out how to get out of it if you need to talk to a person.
Well, and I looked at a few of the clients that you serve, especially in the public sector, the VA and Department of Energy and the IRS. You know, that we don't want to be talking to the IRS unless we really have to anyway.
Absolutely.
But what kind of private sector firms? Do you have specialties? Do you deal with financial services more than say retail, or is there a specialty there?
We have clients across quite a few industries. A pretty significant concentration in financial services, which is both in, you know, banks as well as credit unions. We've done quite a bit of work in contact centers, actually. So we find retail contact centers have been very open to measuring the customer experience and trying to make an improvement. So we've done quite a bit of work in higher education, both within the government as well as in the, I guess, quasi-private sector, not the federal space, but in the higher ed space.
You know, we're talking to Sherry Petras, the CEO of CFI Group. You not only measure customer satisfaction, you help the employees too, right?
We do. You know, one of the key drivers of customer satisfaction are the employees you're dealing with pleasant, right?
Right.
We were just talking about the agents, and if employees are treated badly or are miserable at their job or it's not a great fit, they tend not to provide the best customer experience. And, you know, we found that over and over again, that if employees are not satisfied, do not like their jobs, they don't have a healthy climate, then those employees don't provide great service. So it's all about all of the stakeholders and all of the touch points that a customer might have.
You know, I found that so true that, you know, there are companies that say, you know, customer first. And I've many times said, no, we're going to concentrate on our employees first, because it's our employees that touch the customer every day. So if we want happy customers, we have to first have happy employees.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's an added benefit to employers benefit on both ends. It's far better to keep your employee base around and not have turnover. And you have happy customers, which means they spend more and do all those things that happy customers do. So, you know,
like tell their friends, right?
Exactly. They tell their friends. They spend more. They stick around. So it really is a huge benefit to companies to make sure that their employees feel valued, feel taken care of, are satisfied, and plan to stick around.
So how has social media impacted your business in the last, 10 years now? You have Facebook, Twitter. I mean, I imagine you must be monitoring that for your clients. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. Social media, I think, is just, it isn't necessarily changed the It hasn't changed the fact that firms need to deal with their customers and understand their customers, but what it's done is given customers another channel to contact the firm and another channel to speak about their interactions that they've had, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we find that that it's also changed fundamentally what people expect firms to do. They expect that if they call, if they post on Facebook, or if they are miserable and put something out on Twitter, most people expect that firm is going to notice it deal with it and make it right.
That's so interesting.
So we're talking again to Sherry Petras. And Sherry, we started talking about the ACSI fund, an exchange traded fund. We can where can we track that?
It's on the BATS.
BATS, okay.
It's on the BATS exchange, and the ticker is ACSI.
Excellent. Sherry, thank you very much for being our guest here. This has been very helpful. I've learned a lot. Hopefully our listeners have as well. We're talking to Sherry Petras, and Sherry, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. We're going to take another short break and come back and talk a little bit about cyberbullying.